Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm excited to have you here with us today for a program called Leadership and the Fine Art of Waiting Well with our guest, Jesse Seneca. In the next few minutes, you're going to discover why every leader must learn to wait well, the difference between passive and active waiting, three ways to actively wait, the most important part of leadership. We're going to talk about examples of red and green lights and how to hang in there. Also, the single biggest mistake leaders make and how to avoid it. Five simple ways to grow your influence. Five reasons God makes us wait. And also how to abound. Our guest today is Jesse Seneca. She's the author of Abound, A Call to Purposeful Servant Leadership, and eight other books. Jesse is the founder of More of Him Ministries, offering online seminars and Bible studies, and is a popular conference and retreat speaker. She is one of our speakers at womenspeakers.com, available to speak at your upcoming events. And you can learn more about her also over at her own website, which is moreofhimministries.org. Welcome to you, Jesse.
Hi, Marnie. When you were sharing all that, I'm like, are we going to have time to go over all of this?
I know, you know. Well, we aren't going to be able to dive deep into any of it, but we are going to be able to, you know, I think it's so important that you at least get the ideas in your head. Like there's a way to do this. And this particular, it was funny because just this morning I was talking to one of my sons and we were talking about how much we hate the waiting part. I don't actually believe humans were created to wait.
Yeah,
I think know. In the garden, listen, I think you
I'm not
going to
sugarcoat it. It's hard. It's really hard.
The waiting is so hard. And yet God calls us to do it over and over and over and over. And so that's why we're having this chat today. And you're the girl because you had to wait. Was it 12 years?
Yeah, it was about 12 and a half years to what I thought, you know, God had called me into specifically. And so just kind of what came out of that waiting period, you know, has taught me a lot. It you know, caused me, I'm not sure without that weight, I would have done some of the things that I'm now, you know, doing, like a leadership
Absolutely.
Conference, had written the book on leadership. I'm not sure all of that would have happened if I didn't go through that waiting time.
You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and there are so many, but one of my favorites is Joseph. And just how faithful he was during the season of waiting. And I'm sure he had down days. And I'm sure that he got disappointed and dejected along the way sometimes too. But he just held faithful to God's calling on his life. And he just, when the time came, he was ready. And you wanted to start off this conversation with why every leader must learn to wait. So what is your thought there?
Well, I think sometimes, I mean, I know I certainly have tried to will something into existence, right? Like we can so do that and kind of step ahead of God.
Yeah, right.
And I've done that too, where, you know, I'm not going to wait. I got this idea, you know, those of us who plan, organize, we've got this idea and let's go, let's do it. And a lot of times we end up frustrated and, just exhausted. And not that we won't have frustration and exhaustion, you know, in the things that God calls us to do. But when we're doing what he's calling us to do and we're walking in that, we get energized, you know, by that as well. So I think just not waiting. And I also think hindsight's 20/20, right? And hoping that some of the younger leaders who are listening, you know, to this can learn, you know, from some of the things that we have gone through and not kind of learn it on a field trip type of thing. But yeah, I think sometimes we just kind of step ahead of God. And I love how you know, brought up Joseph. I wrote a Bible study on Joseph and amazing. I mean, you don't hear much in Genesis about him complaining.
Right.
Except for that one time where he was like, okay, I told the cupbearer to remember me in 2 years, but he didn't, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
But you look at Joseph's life and what I loved about that story, and there's so much, oh my goodness,
yeah.
we could do a hours and hours on it. But what I loved about that story was Joseph just kept doing what the next thing was, like what was right in front of him. He just stayed committed and passionate and doing what God was calling him to do right then, and not looking too far ahead. Okay, God, you gave me this dream, you know, 15 years ago. Why isn't it, you know, happening? And I'm sure he had those thoughts go through his mind. I would think he would, but he was just doing what was in front of him, and God kept elevating him in those times.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I want us to talk next about the passive and active waiting. So how do you define it? Because I have kind of some thoughts myself. So how do you define active versus passive?
Passively, we could just sit back and say, I'm going to be still, right? And listen for the Lord, which that is definitely, there's a time for that.
Right.
And I've been there, you've been there, and we have to go through that time. But there's also times when we're passively waiting and we're just not doing anything, right? We're like, okay, we're going to wait for God, and I'm not doing anything. But then you can actively be waiting. And Marnie, that's what I did in that 12 and a half years. I wish I could go into the full detail, but I had been hospitalized with an illness called Cushing syndrome. And I was in a psychiatric facility. And one of the Christian counselors that was with me through those 2.5 months in that particular season, she kept saying to me, Jesse, God's going to use this in ways that you won't even know. And I would just lay there and say, are you kidding me? Like, do you not see I'm deteriorating? I'm dying here. Mm-hmm. She said, I do, but I believe what your husband has been telling me. I believe that God has a plan. And thankfully we got to a hospital in the University of Virginia. It was many years of dealing with the disease, but God brought me through it. And it was in 1996 where I was sitting in the audience of a Women of Faith conference and felt like God put that call on my life to speak and teach women and give them hope from the things that I had gone through. And from that point in 1996, it took the 12 and a half years for what I thought God was opening. Now, I say all that to say, I still was actively waiting in that 12 and a half years. I was, you know, leading Bible study in my home, in the community. I was running, you know, as the director, leader of children's ministry in our church for 12 years. Yeah. I was a part of a ministry in our community, helping organize events and conferences and things like that. So I was still doing things, but I didn't think it and feel that it was exactly what God was calling me into. And so
there was that tension there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But when I look back, I see that every role, every position pointed to where I am today and built upon each other. And so that's like that actively waiting. So when God does open that door and give you that green light, you're ready to go. Well, kind of ready to go, but I'm going to take the step.
Right. I think that's the biggest thing. I've always done that, kind of do the next thing with Jesus. But I think 2020 for me was such a year of deepening that level because, you know, February was our busiest month ever at womenspeakers.com in our whole history of 20 years. And then all of a sudden, crickets. I mean, absolutely nothing. I'd get up in the morning and I'd be like, well, what are we going to do today? And you know what was incredible? God did not even hardly notice that there was a 2020 going on. And he had work for me to do every day. There was something that he put in front of me to do. And it wasn't, like you say, it wasn't the exact vision or mission, but it led me closer to being able to do that better coming out the other end. So there were, you have three ways that you actively wait. What are those three?
Well, I think first you have to pray. You know, prayer is a big part of where God's leading you, maybe what that next stage is going to look like. So prayer is definitely a big factor there. And then again, it's just doing what's in front of you, you know, what opportunity God has for you, and then being watchful, you know, watching for what God's doing around you. And maybe you don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? Maybe there's already things going on around you that you can partner with, or you can come, you know, be in that ministry. I think that those are the three things, you know, to pray, do what's in front of you, and then be watchful. And, you know, you mentioned 2020, and for sure, for me, it caused me to get creative and start to say, okay, what's it going to look like to do online? What's it going to look like to do webinars? You were kind of ahead of the game, right?
With all you had to kind of learn a lot of skills, though, didn't we? Yeah, we all did.
We really did. And so it was a matter of changing, you know, making the shift, right? And being able to do that. And if not, you were kind of going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. And I want to just go back for a second to this passive active waiting thought. So there's a passive waiting that's actually so Christ-like. It's this rest that we experience when God, you know, I've just had, it's a crazy, this past several months, I've just had a lot of time when I've been actually literally ill. And God just took me through a period of time here, and it's just been crazy. And I've had to rest, and I've had to be more passive in how I went about things. And that's not my nature. My nature is like, whoa, go, you know. So there's seasons to rest. And that's not what we're talking about in the passive part. The passive part, I think that we wanted to point out to you, is the passive part where you just say, well, you know, I guess it's not going to happen. I might as well just not think about that anymore, throw in the towel, not even, you know, do anything to go forward. And I really feel like that's, and watching from womenspeakers.com, watching the speakers, so many speakers just kept going. 2020 hit, COVID hit. I mean, they just kept on going as if, you know, and then there were other speakers who really got, I felt like it was like an earthquake in their souls to COVID, and they got trapped under a door jam trying to stay safe as this earthquake, and they had a hard time coming out from under the door frame. They're just still, you know, a lot, some people are still there, but not so many anymore, but a lot of people just have a different way. And there was an active response to that. And there was a very passive, well, let's just wait and see how this goes, and let's just stay safe. And, you know, and it made a big difference in how people experienced that, whether they were actively moving forward with Christ saying, open the doors for me, show me where to go, show me what to do, you know, versus waiting for something to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like there's such a difference in our experience with that. And it's kind of segues. Go ahead.
We can ask ourselves, like, what is our response going to be to waiting? Yeah. Is waiting, do we look at waiting as an attack from God, or do we look at it as a growth from God?
Because an opportunity.
Right. And opportunities, because really on the other side of uncertainty, I say this all the time, is opportunity. And, you know, it's like Joshua in Joshua 3, chapter 3, where, you know, he called the priests together and the heads of each of the heads of the Israelites and said, you know, we're going to go through this Jordan. We're going to go into the Jordan, but it's not until the priest, right, put their foot into the water that the waters will part so we can walk through it on the dry ground. And so they had to actively take that step, right, to make that happen. God just didn't wave a wand and be like, okay, now it's open. And so sometimes we have to step out, even if we're afraid, even if we're unsure of what the outcome is going to be, because really God's just asking us to be obedient, right, with what he's asking us to do. And then we have to leave that outcome up to him.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. And it does kind of segue into the most important part of leadership. When you think of that, you've got a new or a growing leader, what's the most important thing?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to be an effective leader. You have to be a good follower.
I know that
sounds contradictory, right?
Because
followers get a bad rap, especially like leadership is your
gig, right? Whatever. Right. Yeah.
And so sometimes followers get a bad rap, but every leader needs followers.
Absolutely.
And we need to be following someone. And I think it just depends on the type of people and who you're following. Right. Yeah. And when you look at Psalm 23, I won't read all of it, but it says, you know, he makes, he leads, he restores, he guides. And there's this common denominator through all of that proverb that, or rather that psalm that says he, right? He's the common denominator. Oh, so yeah. He has to be the one that we're following, right? Because he's guiding, he's absolutely leading. And so as a follower, we have to be a follower of that one great leader, and that's of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I think I've said this before, Marnie, maybe I've even said it with you, you know, as a leader, our number one bullet point on our agenda has to be spending time with the Lord.
Absolutely.
And we can get so caught up in doing good things for God that mm-hmm. the relationship can kind of get put by the wayside sometimes. And I feel bad saying that, but it's happened to me, you know, and you realize like that can't happen and you have to be pulled back. Right. And hopefully you have someone who can help pull you back mm-hmm. and be able to move you forward.
Right. Right. No, it's so critically important. And it is the sign of pride when you're too busy for God. It's like, okay, it says in Proverbs, a foolish man in his pride does not look to God. It's mm-hmm. the wise leader who is constantly looking to God, constantly. And I always just, you know, the straw illustration, I always just say, we're not supposed to fill up the cup. We're supposed to just be the straw. He's got all the water of life anybody ever needs. We're the straw. And when we're not in him, well, then we're in something else. We're in me, or we're in toxicity, or I mean, sometimes I'm toxic. So, I mean, we want to just stay submerged in Jesus and be sharing him. Real quick, let's share some examples of red and green lights and how to hang in there.
Oh, well, you know, the thing with the red and green light, with the red light, I think you learn a lot through experience. For me, I had been a part of, you know, underneath or partnered with like a poor example of leadership. And it was really, really a tough time. And I wouldn't wish it on anyone. However, I learned the most about leadership through that whole experience.
Right.
You know, I've read a lot of books. I've been under great leaders. Mm-hmm. But I think I really learned the most under mm-hmm. that poor experience. And I want to encourage someone today who maybe is under poor, you know, just learn as much as you can, either talk to them, talk to someone to help you get through it, pull yourself out of it, whatever it might be. But I did learn a lot from it. And because there were so many red flags that I learned about through that experience, going into new experiences, going into partnering with new ministries and leaders, there's those red flags that can come about pretty quickly when you've gone through it and you see it. So I think that that's helpful with those red flags. And then sometimes God just shuts the door. Mm-hmm. And he's done that with me too. And it's hard to accept, especially if something you really wanted to do or be a part of, but listening to that still small, you know, voice that the Lord speaks to you through, or sometimes it's a big slam, right? And it's like, boom, right there. But just those are some of the red light signs. The green light is like, for me, Marnie, you know, I had felt God put a call on my life. And I had prayed and I was doing what God was having me do in those 12 and a half years. And don't get me wrong, because I just said one of the key things to leadership, right, is prayer. But I had been praying for 12 and a half years. And I'm not saying I didn't pray at all when the first opportunity came that I felt this, okay, this is it. I got the first church that contacted me. I'd written this small little article in a devotional. It was, I'm sure it was awful. It was when churches had, you know, like bulletins. I don't even know if it was a blog considered then. Right. But I got this call from this pastor's wife, and she asked me to come and speak to the pastor, to the wives during the pastor's conference. And I had to laugh when I got off the phone. I was like, Lord, and I love going to moms. Do not misunderstand me. I love going with young moms and that. But I was like, okay, Lord, I really just wanted a 20-minute devotional at a MOPS, not pastor's wives. It was my first go-to, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, but I knew that God had opened that door.
Right.
And was I going to walk through it?
Right.
Okay, it's open. Now what? You know, am I going to walk through it? And so did I walk through it? I did. Did I pray about it? Yes, but I didn't have to spend months praying about it because I already spent 2.5 years praying about it.
Right.
And so, you know, just walking through it, did I walk through it a little bit afraid? I did. But I don't think that's a bad thing because it helps us to rely on God. Like I never want to get to that point where I'm not relying on God for what he's bringing right into our lives.
Absolutely. When I saw this red and green light thing, it was reminding me of my mom before she got dementia at kind of toward the end of her brain life. She was still driving, but she was so cute. And she wanted to, she didn't want to have to start and stop too much. That was a little intimidating. So whenever she'd be coming up to a green light, she'd be saying, okay, give me a green, God, give me a green. And if it turned yellow, I got a green, I got to go. It's so cute. And I thought that's how we are. You know, the greens are so fun comparatively. But sometimes there's a little anxiety in there with the green too. We feel like, is this a pause or is this a go? And not quite clear about that. So just walking again, just that constant communication with the spirit. Is this a go for me? Is this a pause for me or whatever? And we're going to talk next about the single biggest mistake that leaders make. And what do you say that is?
Well, I think I feel like the biggest thing is not spending time with God. Because again, we think we're doing these great things for God and we are, but when we miss the time with him, we miss him speaking to us. And it may be to go, it may be to stay, it may be to pivot and change. And he reveals himself through his word, what he's asking us to do. So I do believe that could be for me, probably the biggest hindrance, right? Or the biggest blockade is not carving out that time, you know, with the Lord and hearing from him. I just did a conference a couple weekends ago and I spent weeks in John chapter 15, in 1 John, and in Joshua 3 and 4. I mean, I just kept rereading. And I realized like I had to embed myself in that for it to flow out of me. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's so many times I was finishing up editing my newest book coming out. There were so many times, Marnie, I wanted to just say, let me go look at those edits real quick before I get to what I need to be reading. Right. And spending that quiet time with the Lord.
Right.
I've been walking with the Lord, you know, 38 years, and I have learned the hard way of skipping that time with him. And as a leader, it's really vital to keep that time.
Yeah. I was thinking, it's the time with God that helps us to know where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do, helps us not to run ahead or fall behind. It's that intimacy with Christ that really allows us to lead. And as you were talking, I was thinking of all the employees I've had over the years and how some employees knew me so well that they could actually do something without checking in with me, do something that was like out of the box without checking in with me because they pretty much knew which way I would want them to go. Other employees, actually, when they tried it, it didn't work out well at all because they just didn't know me well. And so sometimes they would take an initiative and it would cause a big problem for everybody. And I was thinking that's the same. That's how we are with Christ. You know, when we're walking close to him, then in the moment, you know, we will know kind of whether to go or to stop, even without praying specifically for days about a decision. Like you said, you prayed 12 and a half years, you knew when the door opened, this is peace, unless there's a red flag there, you know, you just know to go. And so we wanted to, you know, kind of move into how to grow your influence. And you had 5 ways to grow your influence. And I know this is just it's a point where a lot of, especially the Christian women speakers I work with, a lot of gals are really intimidated to put themselves out there. They feel like it's all like, it feels too self, you know, but the thing is that if God's flowing his message through you, you actually have to open your mouth. You actually have to go and be and do and be seen, or it can't happen.
It's definitely hard, at least for me. Some people come by it very naturally and are able. Right. That was always my hardest, barricade I had to get through. Right. And I remember my pastor, you know, years ago saying, Jesse, you're going to have a website. I'm like, yeah, right. You know, like, why would I have a website? And then, you know, I have a website.
Lo and behold.
And it's, you know, and I've revised it four different times over the years.
And you've written books. And
the website was a landing page. And this is what I tell women who are just starting out. It doesn't have to be anything grand and great, right? It just has to be a landing page for people to be able to go on, see who you are, maybe have some topics, you know, different information. It doesn't have to be. Mine was very simple when I first started. And not that it's anything elaborate now, but it grew as my ministry grew and as, you know, all of that grew, it grew with me. And so it can start out very simple, but it's great to have it because people will go there and land there. And Marnie, I always say this, I mean, I'm so thankful for your, you know, your website where women can go on and ministry leaders can go on and look for speakers. And I'm amazed that people will contact you that have no idea who you are. And because you're trustworthy, that website is trustworthy, they trust it. But this is what a lot of times they say to me. They say, well, we went on and we read your blogs.
Right, right.
And I only blog once a month just because of time. Mm. But it's they get to know you through those blogs. Right. Right. And I was just like, wow. It's just amazing,
for sure.
Right? So, of course, that's one way you can increase your influence. Again, prayer is a big thing to, you know, just pray, ask the Lord for the direction and where you should go. I think passion is huge. When you're passionate about what you're doing, others see the passion and they want to be a part of that. You know, and that helps to grow your influence when they see someone who's passionate about the calling, right, that God put on their life. And again, then you have to step out. You have to put yourself out there. If you don't have social media, you're pretty much going to die almost. It's right. Like you need to have some of that to be able to put yourself out there. And you can do it as great as you want or as little as you want. I know for me, I know podcasts right now are a big thing for a lot of speakers. And I was just talking to my husband about this. I just haven't felt God call me into that realm right now. And I don't have the time that it's going to take to commit to that part of ministry. So am I okay that I am a speaker and a writer that does not have a podcast? And I am. And I think that's the thing. You can't look at what everybody else is doing and thinking that's what we have to be doing.
Right.
I mean, some of those are great. I look up to a lot of wonderful speakers and try to emulate some of the things that they do. But there are sometimes when it's just not in this season of life for you. Right. And so.
Well, and I really feel like what you started with is so important to just listen to Jesus. What is he calling you to do? I mean, we've got speakers who speak and they don't have social media because God knows where they live. You know, I mean, it's like he can find you, but sometimes he says, step out. So that's like, you know, Peter getting out of the boat or Joshua stepping into the water, or he's calling you to step out. And that's when you should do it. If he's not calling you, if you have a pause, be sure don't go. Right. But if he's calling you, then do the next thing. And I love that he's able to make that clear to us. What is the next thing? And I love that sometimes I get to be involved in the next thing. Sometimes I'm the next step, you know, womenspeakers.com. Now we're going to take it to a next level. And I just love that I get to be part of that or part of the training. And there's at Marnie.com, there's a whole training on marketing, and it goes through your personality, how God created you. And you can identify pretty quickly which kind of platforms for publicity God has already prepared you to do. And it really helps narrow it down because it's a big world out there.
That's a great tool, Marnie. I'm going to have to look at that.
Well, you're a featured speaker, so you get it for free. So
go over that. I know, but I would love to look at that and
it's really cool. Wisdom
from that.
And what you said earlier too about the prayer, that was one of the things that shocked me the most. A few years ago, God said, I could start calling speakers every day. And it had been in my heart for a long time and I just hadn't had the time. And I got help and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then he said, use it as part of your marketing time. And I was like, really? I can do that? I can count calling speakers and praying with them as part of my marketing time? And I tell you, that just turned my crank. And it was so amazing how God would have me call speakers at just the right time. Even I would leave a message and they'd text back or write back. You cannot know that that came at just the right moment. You know, so, I mean, God can use anything for marketing. He doesn't have to, he's not limited to a podcast or social media. He just wants to use it all. But sometimes he doesn't have us, in fact, he never has us do it all. Sometimes he says, wait, don't do that. Don't do that.
Right.
And so what are five reasons God makes us wait?
Oh, goodness. Well, let me just go back for a second to what we were on. I also think we have to be flexible. And I think that we learned a lot of that through COVID. I mean, we all knew it as leaders. We always know that flexibility is a part of a good leader, but we really experienced it. Yeah. Right through COVID. And, you know, there were so many times, Marnie, I would say to my husband in that period time, we'd be walking and I'm like, I miss the days of ministry, of what it looked like.
Of hugs.
I've been reading a lot of books by John Gordon. He wrote The Energy Bus and then wrote a lot of other books on leadership. And I read this quote from him one day and it just totally changed the way I was thinking. He said, if you think your best days are behind you, they are. But if you think
your best
days are in front of you, they are.
Yeah, right.
And it has been wonderful. And the things that I was doing and the teams that I was a part of were wonderful and it was great. But maybe God has something now new in store, right? I'm going to do a new thing. And if I'm not watching for that, I could miss it,
you know, and absolutely. I'll miss
things. We've all missed things, right? Opportunities, but it really helped me shift my thinking and my perspective in a forward direction rather than a backward direction, you know? But the five reasons that I think God makes us wait is, one is it helps to clarify our purpose. Mm-hmm. Like for me in that time of waiting, God just kept clarifying what he was going to do. How was I to prepare for that? Get into the word of God, do Bible study, learn the word of God. Because if God would have opened the door when I thought he should have, it would have been a train wreck. It would have been a complete mess. And I just wouldn't have been prepared for it. And so, you know, in that waiting time, God will clarify that purpose, I believe, for us. Mm-hmm. Well, waiting can build patience in our lives.
Huge.
I've learned enough. I've learned patience. Open the door, you know. But he does teach us to patiently wait, right? Yeah. While he's working on what he's doing. Waiting builds anticipation.
It does.
I have a daughter who's due in 2 weeks, right, with her second baby, our first granddaughter. Mm. And, you know, we are all anticipating this. And it just builds that anticipation. Right. And, like, even when we started She Leads, I won't go into the details, but, like, I wanted to have that, like, 3 or 4 years prior to when the door opened and we had our first She Leads event. But the anticipation of it happening was great. And what a celebration, right? When that did open, it transforms our character. Mm-hmm. You know, God, look at what it did to Joseph. We talked about that in the beginning. His whole character, demeanor, all is transformed through all of that to be able to say to his brothers, God meant this for good, right?
Right.
Yeah. So He transforms our character. Yeah. And then you said this already. It builds the intimacy and dependency upon God. Mm-hmm. Like we become less dependent upon ourselves. Like, oh, I can get this done. I can pull myself up on bootstraps and get this done and forge ahead. Where waiting, we become more dependent on God than ourselves.
Absolutely. I actually think that dependence thing, I think that is like one of the biggest motivations of God having us wait. You know, we come into our relationship with our parents. We come in as a baby. Where am I doing here? Come in as a baby. And we go up and we become independent adults, right?
Yeah.
We come to God and we come in as completely independent souls saying, no, me do it my way. Even if we come to him as a very young child, he has to teach us that dependence. So we become like babies with him saying, sure, whatever you want, you take care of me, you take care of this. And it's not that you don't have anything to do. You do. You're an adult being totally dependent on a loving father. And so I think that dependence things is just the biggest part of it all. And that waiting, I like to focus on that actually when I'm in the pain of waiting, is that I know that I'm getting closer to you here, or at least I have the opportunity to. And I guess sometimes we don't take that. But I think that's where the abundant life is getting closer to Jesus and letting him flow through more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Your latest book is called Abound. How do we abound?
Abound, yes. It's on servant leadership. And it's only 4 chapters. You could read it as a book, 4 chapters, or you can work through it with a team. It has 5 days of work for each chapter. But it's... You know, it's about the call in our life, the walk, what it looks like, right? Then building a team and then taking that leap into what God's called us to do. And
that.
So, yeah, it, you know, we are called, right, as leaders to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so, you know, the Lord's eyes go to and fro looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And I always say this, when God finds those people whose hearts are fully committed to him, even if you don't feel equipped, he will equip you for what he's calling you to do. And I just think, you know, whatever our hand finds to do, we should do it with all of our heart.
Yeah. Right. I love that. Well, I love you and I love everything God does through you.
I keep, even in the last 3 weeks, I get an email from you. Did you check your, you know, someone's requesting you, make sure you go in and check that.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Thank you for that little reminder. Yeah. 'Cause it is very helpful, but your ministry is wonderful. Mm. It helps keep us speakers out there and people knowing who we are. So I know a lot of my speaker friends are all very grateful for all that your ministry means to us.
Well, it's such a joy. And you guys want to make sure, go check out Jesse's website over at moreofhimministries.org, moreofhimministries.org. And also she's totally available to speak for you if you want to reach out to her at womenspeakers.com. She's one of our featured speakers over there. And I just, you know, it always amazes me that God chooses to use me. And it is so much fun to connect with other Christian women who are just vessels and just saying, Jesus, whatever you want to do, here I am.
Yeah.
Choose me, use me. And I know you guys are like that too, just wanting Jesus to use you. And we just applaud you and we encourage you and we cheer you on in your journey with Jesus. So thank you for joining us. Thank you, Jesse, so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I loved it.
You bet. And thanks you guys. I hope